right, welcome everybody. On a Tuesday, Trash Talk with Tony Rosky is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, Eli Bashi, Mike Bilica, and Grant Richards are joining me. Jay Horn, he told us he'll be here shortly. We'll see. But in the meantime, gentlemen, good to have everyone back on the show this week. Let's get into it. Let's start, as always, with the introductions. Last week, if you remember, for the intros, I asked you how you were doing. I talked with Grant about sports betting, like we always do. But I also had you guys talk about your favorite moments from the season opener for the Pistons against the Chicago Bulls, because we went to that game and we talked about it last week. I want to do the same thing this week. I'm going to ask you how you're doing. We'll talk with Grant about sports betting. And then I also want you guys to give me your favorite moments from the Pistons game last Saturday night at home against the Orlando Magic. Cade's debut. It was a fun game. It was awesome to see the Pistons' first win of the season. It was so good to see Cade's debut. It was a fun night. So I feel like, just like last week for the intros this week, while also talking about how you're doing and talk with Grant about sports betting, let's talk about the fun we had at LCA on Saturday night. Let's get right into it, starting with Eli Bashi. Hello, Eli. How are you today? How's school and work going? And give me your favorite moment from the game on Saturday night.
I'm pretty tired right now, but I'm staying busy. I had a blast on Saturday. My favorite moment, probably, honestly, that we were so close and yeah, the players heard us and they like acknowledged us and stuff. Like when
Jamarco
we were doing the
Pickett,
we want Luka. Yeah, we were doing the We Want Luka chants and Jamarco Pickett was clapping with us. That was kind of sweet. And before the game, Cade was like on our side of the court and we were yelling at him and he kind of like nodded his head at us before the game.
Hey,
that was pretty sweet.
I missed that. Okay,
Kelly Olynyk dunked. And, you know, kind of looked at our section and flexed while he was on the rim.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gavin, the Pistons photographer, got a sweet pic of that.
Mm-hmm. He got a sweet pic of us, too.
He did, yeah. Shout out to Gavin.
Vein popping out of
Kelly
my neck.
Kelly after the game saying that we're crazy fans, and I know he was talking about us.
He was for sure probably talking about us. But, I mean, the crowd, it was good on Saturday night. I thought it was a good crowd.
It was pretty similar to opening night, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't say – I mean, supposedly opening night was a sellout. This seemed, like, near that, I would say.
Yeah, for
Cade's – everyone's in the concourse, though, you know? Everyone's in the concourse.
For Cade's debut, though, you would imagine the crowd was going to be packed and loud, and they were. I mean, whenever Cade touched the ball, let alone did anything sweet, the crowd would just erupt. And that one play specifically where Cade dove on the floor, it was wrestling with Wagner for the ball and a few other people, and it's a shot clock violation, Pistons basketball. Oh, the crowd.
You know what that play reminds me of? Remember one of Blake's first games against the Clippers?
Oh, yeah, and he
got
chucked
that
it.
Sweet block, and then, you know, it was like a shock. It was out on the Clippers, and it was another Mason saying Detroit basketball, and the crowd was going crazy. It was literally the same situation.
Yeah, yeah. The crowd was very happy, I would say, to see Cade play, as were we. So, yeah. I still really don't have a voice after Saturday night.
I don't. Can you tell? I can't. I don't either. I walked into work this morning, and they were like, "Morning, Eli, how are you?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm good."
Yeah, I'm all right. Did your boss go at all? I know your boss is apparently a Pistons fan.
No, she was a big... She went to Michigan State, so she was...
Okay.
She was going crazy that day.
Yeah, me too.
Michigan State fan.
Yeah, me too. Between Michigan State, which we'll talk about later in the program, between Michigan State and that Pistons game, oh boy, Saturday night was fun for me. But yeah, nonetheless, Eli, good to have you back on the program as always. Let's move on to Mike Bilica. Hello, Mike. Same questions for you. How's everything going? And what was your favorite moment from the game on Saturday night?
Everything's good. I wasn't even supposed to be there in the first place.
That's true. You're supposed to work.
Shout out to my shift at work getting canceled. As soon as that got canceled, I booked it to LCA. The rest was history. But my favorite part about that night was just the energy we had and just the fun that we had. We all had a good time. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, bringing all the energy and just chance. The chants were fun. Luka guards the chants.
Going MVP crazy for Kelly.
Kelly Olynyk. Yeah, man. It was just anytime we're doing that, it's always a good time. I had fun.
I don't know why Mike was the one to remind me of this while he was talking, but I also have to ask Eli, did you enjoy spending close to $30 for the chicken tenders and fries?
Hey, man, the fries were very unsatisfying, but... or dissatisfying, I guess. But the chicken tenders tasted pretty good. I mean, when you go to a stadium, you're locked in. There's nothing you can do. You got to spend their ludicrous prices. That's just the way it is. I'd do it again if I had to.
No regrets. That's more money than a Motor City Cruise ticket right there.
Listen, man. Listen, like,
is that a little tease for what we may or may not be doing next week? No.
Every stadium can't be like Comerica Park, you know? They can't give you buy one, get one free elephant ears like Comerica Park.
That's true. You can't get the deals everywhere.
If
only Tyler was here to talk about the buy one, get one free elephant ears.
We'll be back.
Oh, LCA? No, we will for sure be back.
No, we'll be back at Comerica getting the
That too. And we're eventually going to try to get to a Wings game this year. But speaking of spending speaking of spending a lot of money on something, cha-ching.
Have a promo code or anything? Just help us out.
Have to hit a couple parlays to get into the Red Wings games. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, goodness. But, yeah. It was a fun time, though, at LCA. I was glad Mike was able to make it. So it was a full Trash Talk crew game. And the Trash Talk crew was on TV, too. I wasn't even aware until my phone started blowing up. I was getting texts and tweets saying, you were just on TV. And I'm like, for what? It's not like the Johnny interview for the season opener. I'm like, why were we on TV? And someone sent me the video, and I even put out my IG story. I put in like little quotations, what's the Trash Talk crew like at a game? And then I put the Trash Talk crew in it. Oh goodness gracious. Yeah, that video is a pretty good way to explain how much fun we had at the game on Saturday night. All right Mike, good to have you back as well. Let's move on to the now joining us, Jay Horn. Hi, Jay. Thank you for stopping by before you eventually have to go on your hoops run. How are you today? And also, give me your favorite moment from the game on Saturday night.
I'm a little tired. Just left the first hoop run, you know.
Uh-oh. How'd you do?
That was pretty fun.
Did you dunk on people?
Oh, I did okay.
Okay.
Got about 5 dunks in there. Okay. I was shooting like Eli, though. I got a couple of clips of me shooting the 3, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. But, From the game, when I first got there, the usher, great. That was a highlight of my night with that usher. He was nice. I did see Cade's first bucket and only bucket. That was hype. But the highlight of my night is Mr. Kelly Olynyk. My screensaver is him. He is the best player on the team right now to me. Yeah, big
old. Not a good thing.
When he did that no look, you know, dribble pass or whatever, and dunked it, me and Eli had a moment together. It was perfect.
That was on Franz, wasn't it? Or was that Mo? Eli, do you remember which Wagner brother that was on?
Man, I can't stand Franz, man. Oh my God, can we have a whole podcast where I talk about how much I can't stand Franz Wagner?
We'll save that for another day. Yes, but do you remember who? It was on one of the Wagner brothers. I don't remember.
It was on one. I think it was Franz, man.
It was on one of them because I remember screaming "Go Green" after it.
Yeah, Franz stinks. He stinks. I don't care what the box score says. Box score is lie.
Yeah, well. Yeah, Kelly Olynyk does not stink, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's a great. He was great that game. I had fun.
How was your plus one? Did she enjoy her night?
Oh yeah, she had a great time. Yeah, you know.
Do you know what her favorite moment from the game was?
Probably sitting next to Eli. She really enjoyed Eli and the Usher. Man, shout out to him.
No. We're moving on. Thank you, Jay. Please mute your mic. Let's move on to Grant Richards, last but certainly not least. Oh, my goodness. Grant, Grant, how are you? I know you texted me this morning and said you're a little tired. So how are you doing? Oh, I almost spoke for Mike. Excuse me. Mike.
How was the sports betting this weekend?
And give me your favorite moment from the game on Saturday night, if you remember.
Well, I was a little tired this morning.
And
Saturday
Sunday
really took a lot out of me. Saturday, oh my God, I didn't even do anything Sunday, and I was just I sat on the couch like I couldn't move. I didn't feel comfortable enough to go on my phone without like
Happy Halloween.
Darn near spinning. So. I think that means I had a good Saturday. To answer that question, I don't remember anything from like 2 in the afternoon. So last I checked, Michigan was winning like 20. They were up like 17. So I'm just going to keep riding with that. No, Saturday was great. That was a wonderful, wonderful time. I definitely like Kelly's dunk. I think due to the state I was in, when he hit that, when he just yammed and like – it felt like he was looking at us when he dunked.
I would like to think he was looking at us.
Okay, cool. I'm going to say he was.
Yeah.
He was looking directly into my eyes.
He dedicated it for us.
Definitely. Sports betting was not – we did not win this week. We were going on a nice stretch.
Oh.
Hitting very well on Saturday, hitting very well on Sundays. Just everything went wrong. It was one where Vegas had me and they knew it. But we come back swinging, and I know you guys talked me out of it, but they do have a same game parlay free bet on DraftKings, so I have the Giants money line tonight.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, we're recording this on Monday night. Grant is taking Giants money line. We'll see in the morning if that works out or not.
Tony, how was your sports betting?
I had another winning week. That is now 4 straight winning weeks, and 5 out of the last 6 weeks have been winning weeks, too. I had a big day on Saturday. Saturday was the big day for me. Michigan State plus 4. I told everyone last week I was taking it, and that obviously hit. We'll talk about that later to close out the show. And also, Pistons minus 6. Bang! That me and Grant had that. Right, Grant? You had that too.
Oh, yeah. That was one of my few hits on Saturday. That was nice.
Yeah, Pistons minus 6 hit along with the Michigan State bet for me. Saturday was a big day, and it helped me get winning week 4 in a row and 5 out of the last 6. Let's keep it rolling this week, and Grant, you're going to bounce back this week. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. Let's go. All right, gentlemen, good to have everyone back on the show this week. Let's get right into it. So, as I teased later in the program to close out the show, we obviously got to talk about Michigan State. That's going to be a lot of fun to close out the program this week. But to begin, since we're already talking Pistons, let's stay on the topic and talk about the Pistons to start this week. You know, they've been fun with Cade. When Cade has played, they have been a fun watch. And at the time of recording this, they are still undefeated. When Cade plays. When Cade doesn't play, the Pistons are winless, and they are not very fun to watch. Outside of, I would say, Killian, who's been playing better, and Sadiq Bey, who's been playing pretty well to start the season on both ends, there's not a whole lot of good to talk about with the Pistons to start the season. So I feel like to start the show today, let's get it all out. Let's get all of our Pistons frustrations out there. Let's talk about it, and let's try to cheer each other up about the Pistons. Because on Sunday night after that game in Brooklyn on Halloween night, Oh my, Pistons Twitter was Pistons Twitter was interesting. Let's just say that. So I feel like everybody just needs a little Pistons therapy session right now, especially Eli. So let's start with Eli. Let's get it all out there. What's going through your head right now with the Pistons? The good, the bad. Just let's talk about this. What's your thoughts on the Pistons right now, Eli?
I'm worried, Tony. I'm worried. I thought they would be better this year. I didn't think we were looking at another 20-win season. But the way things are going now, I know their schedule has been tough, okay? I know they've been playing against all playoff teams. And the one win they got was against a bad team. But they were at least competitive last year. Like, they didn't look dead in the water by the third quarter like they do this year. Last year, they fought till like, at least halfway through the fourth. Then maybe a game would have gotten out of hand. But this year, I mean, you're going with the same, pretty much the same roster you had last year with in these Cade Cunningham-less games. Pretty much the same roster you had last year. And guys like Sadiq have improved. Guys like Killian look to be getting better every game. You upgraded from Plumlee to Kelly Olynyk. They realistically should be, on paper, a better team than last year. And they're not showing me that right now. And it worries me because I don't really think it's the players' fault. And here's where I get into our boy Dwayne Casey. I don't think Dwayne Casey is putting our players in the best position to succeed, which is something I've been saying for years with this guy. But it seems like right now a lot of people are starting to join me on that bandwagon, which I think sometimes it's a little too much because, you know, we have only played 6 games and 5 of them have been against like contenders. So, you know, like I think it's fair to criticize Dwayne Casey because the lineups he puts out there, he's playing his bench almost as much as his starters, which, like, I don't know any other coach. Like, he's matching their minutes. I don't know any other coach that does that. Like,
oh, come on. You don't like seeing Corey Joseph play more than Killian?
I don't. Oh, but Tony, Killian played more than him yesterday. Yeah, Killian played 22 minutes. Corey played 21. Okay. I literally had multiple people in my mentions saying Killian played more than Corey tonight. He played one more minute.
Oh, is that part of the interesting dialogue on Pistons Twitter on Sunday night?
Yeah, that was part of it.
It was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, no. I don't. Dwayne needs to be better. Jeremy Grant needs to be way better than he is. He looks worse than last year, which, like, I thought we would maybe extend Jeremy coming up soon, give him, like, a contract extension. But the way it's looking right now, if he keeps this up, he might be looking at less money on his next contract than he's being paid now, which I don't think is what we were thinking last year. Jeremy did not take the step in playmaking that I thought he would take. I thought he would know that teams would be focused on him, and, you know, when they double him, I thought he'd be able to make the right play out of the double team. But he seems really shell-shocked and scared of, you know, all the attention that he's getting. And Dwayne said he's going to be our go-to guy. So this is on Dwayne just as much as it is Jeremy. If Jeremy can't change some things in your offensive scheme instead of, you know, putting Jeremy in a position that he's clearly not comfortable in, it's not Jeremy's fault that he won't be a number one option in the NBA. Like, the reality is Jeremy Grant is probably best as a third option on offense. But you're forcing him to be something he's not, so he's not looking too good this year. And, I mean, part of it's on Jeremy, but part of it's on the coach as well, in my opinion. I don't know how you guys feel about that. I know Jay has been saying a lot lately that we got to start talking about Jeremy Grant. So you know, I just want to, like, I don't know, open up the floor to know what you guys are thinking too, because I don't think it's all on Jeremy. I think part of it's on Dwayne too.
Look at Eli go. That's a perfect transition. Okay, Eli. Round of applause for Eli for the transition work there. Okay. Well, with that, let's get to Jay then. I know Jay has to get out of here because he has a hoop run to go to, like I mentioned earlier.
Oh, I got time for Casey. I got time.
Okay, I'll shut up. Go.
I got time. One, Dwayne Casey's offensive rotation is worse than mine on 2K, right? If you look at Dwayne Casey's offensive rotation, it is the worst in the league by, like, when I'm not going to say the worst, but it's like bottom half because he runs five out and we have zero shooters.
Well, Jay, we have the worst offense in the NBA right now. Like, that's a stat. That's fact.
Oh, so it is true.
Do we seriously?
Yes.
Oh. It's not
even close. Oh, I was being nice. I didn't know that.
No, we have the worst offense in the league. Like, no one's even close to us.
Oh, well. That's not good, is it?
No, it's not.
Well, going off of that, I truly think that Dwayne Casey has a lot of slack. Like, Hami, when he plays, man, it's just like he doesn't know what he's going to do ever. And Hami's not a shooter.
Amadou? Oh.
Yeah, he's not a shooter, you know? So it's kind of hard seeing him, you know, sit in the corner and have to shoot every time. Like, he's not a shooter. I don't like the offense. Jeremy Grant can't play make yet, so it's kind of hard to run like motion offense and stuff like that. Sadiq Bey's fine. I'm cool with him, but it's kind of hard when you're like number one scorer can't play make. It makes it a lot harder on other guys to me.
Did you get it all out?
Oh no! Last thing here. Well, last thing here. For all you people in my mentions yesterday who didn't know what five out is, five out is when all players on top of the perimeter and stuff like that, kind of iso ball, look to the corner, stuff like that. Iso. Yeah, that's what we do, and we never score. I'm done.
Oh, you participated in this Pistons Twitter.
Oh, I think me and Eli were like, you know, 1-2 last night.
I logged off Twitter. I said, it's Halloween. I'm gonna go watch a scary movie and just get out of here. But I did see Twitter was a little interesting. I didn't realize that Eli and Jay were leading the way. I mean, I figured Eli was leading the way.
Yeah, Eli made the tweet, and I like quoted the Jeremy Grant, you know, discussion that needs to be said and talked about for months to come. But I'll leave that alone for now.
I know a lot of people going at the beat writers too. I mean, the Pistons Twitter was something else.
I feel so bad for James.
They don't control anything.
People going after the beat writers, man. What the hell are we doing here? Oh my goodness gracious.
I got some stats, Tony, if that's okay.
I love juicy stats, please.
Okay, so the Pistons currently, if you could put a number 1 through 30.
Hold on a second. Jay, mute your mic, please. Oh my goodness. Thank you.
1 through 30, what do you think the Pistons are in assist to turn?
Your mic cut out a little bit. Repeat that. On a scale of 1 to 30.
Not really a scale, but like in the league, where do you think the Pistons are 1 to 30 in assist to turnover ratio?
I'm going to assume it's low. Let me go 28.
26. Ooh. Okay. What about offensive rating?
Last.
Yes, last. They're last in the league in offensive rating. Let me see another stat right here. Effective field goal percentage. What do you think they are?
25th.
They are last in the league in effective field goal percentage. What about true shooting percentage?
Last?
They are last in the league in true shooting percentage.
Oh.
What about pace? What do you think their pace is?
Oh, they're for sure last.
No, they're 25th in pace. Oh. But that it still is not that good.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's just some stuff. Oh, okay, let's see defensive rating. What do you think they are defensive rating?
Okay, this one should be at least decent. I'm going to go 12th.
They're 19th in defensive rating.
Oh, how are they worse?
Brooklyn game hurt.
Yeah.
We probably went from 11th to 19th.
Yeah. Sure. Take the Brooklyn game out. We're probably, my 12 guess would probably be right around being correct. Any more stats, or is that it?
I think that's it, but you should probably get the gist of that. I might have some more later.
Well,
if you come back to
I love stats, but I don't know if I want to hear any more of those stats.
Yeah, probably not.
Let's get Mike in here. He'll finish us off, and I'll give my spiel too, if you will. Mike, any frustrations you want to talk about with the Pistons right now?
I don't want to tank anymore, but it looks like they're not listening, so. It's going to be a hard season to watch because last season, towards the end, it got hard to watch, but I can't do another tanking season. I just can't. I didn't want to, but Dwayne's got other plans. Because if you're choosing to play Corey Joseph as much as you're playing him, you're not trying to win. Like, I don't care how bad of a coach you are. You would know not to play him that long. Like, it's almost obvious that they're tanking.
You know, I think it was Eli who mentioned it earlier, the fact that the schedule has been tough to really start this season, and it's going to continue to be tough going forward.
And they don't have Cade. That's another thing. Like, they're playing without maybe their best player, and I know he had
a bad
Not
maybe.
Game.
I would say even after one game, in which he only scored 2 points, which actually reminds me, I do want to talk a little bit about that too. But I would still say Cade's the best player on this team. Continue though, Eli.
I was going to say, like, we need to see more games with Cade to see what this team really is, because I doubt Corey Joseph is going to play that much when Cade is, you know, when Cade is playing like normal minutes, you know, because you could stagger Cade and Killian, which is what I would do if I was the coach. But I don't know, Dwayne makes things so hard on himself.
And especially too, when Cade's not on the minutes restriction, like he was on Saturday. I feel like that's also probably going to take some of the Kojo minutes away, I would hope, but I don't know.
Well, one thing about this season is that we're not competing against good teams like last season.
No,
like
we're not really competing right now.
We would compete with anyone, but this season we're just getting blown out. Like, it's hard to watch at times.
And again, the schedule has been brutal to start the season. The one bad team we have played, we beat them. And we beat them pretty handily outside of, like, a stretch there. I think it was early in the second half where the Magic were hitting their shots, and even I was at a point where I'm like, are we going to lose to the Magic? But we didn't. We obviously pulled away in the second half and won that game. The one bad team we played, we won. The schedule has been brutal. But like we have all kind of said already, the Pistons, though, are still not really looking competitive. Guys who were bright spots last year, like a Josh Jackson, a Hamidou Diallo, a Frank Jackson, a Jeremy Grant. I would even put Beef Stew in that that conversation. I think Eli probably would too, because we've talked about Beef Stew a couple days ago off air. I would put him in the conversation too as one of these guys who were guys that were shining last year that really haven't been performing right now through the first six or so games of the season.
They're just kind of there, you know? Like, they're not doing anything, like, great, and they're not doing anything, like, poorly, I would say. They're just not doing anything. They're just on the court taking up space, filling a role that's, like, they're just there, you know? They're not doing anything.
Now, I'm not going to freak out about those guys, though. Even though they're kind of struggling to start the season, I'm not going to freak out. Because me personally, I'm just going to assume that it's early season struggles. I mean, they have only played 6 games at the time of recording this. So I'm just going to assume it's early season struggles. I'm just going to assume it's because they've played pretty decent teams. You know, I'm hoping as the season goes on and the schedule lightens up a little bit, these guys who were bright spots last year are going to get out of their funk, I guess, if you will, and they're going to start playing better. I hope so, because it's almost Tigers-esque. And what I mean by that, I literally just thought of this too. What I mean by that is we all know the Tigers this past season had an awful, awful first month of the season. And I forget who said this during their press conference after after a loss in April. Might have been Spencer Turnbull. I don't remember, a Tigers pitcher. But one of the players said, we're all struggling at the same time. Offense, pitching, everyone's struggling at the same time. That's why we're struggling right now. We're all going to eventually figure it out and eventually click and start winning baseball games. And at the time, me personally, I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Everyone's quote-unquote struggling at the same time. It's not that you're just not a good baseball team. Yeah, okay. Everyone's just struggling at the same time. Yeah, I got you. Wink, wink. But no, he was actually right. Everyone was struggling at the same time. And as the baseball season went on, as we all know, the Tigers, they got hot. They started to win baseball games, and they played pretty decent baseball last season after the really brutal first month of the season in April. I would like to think that this would hopefully kind of be a Tiger situation. Everyone's struggling right now, and that can just be kind of thought as early season struggles. As the season goes on and as the schedule kind of lightens up, hopefully the Pistons do take a Tigers turn and they start to play better. These guys who are struggling right now start to get it going and get hot, and hopefully we start to win more basketball games, and hopefully we just start to be more watchable. Because I really do agree with the point that this team really isn't watchable right now, especially without Cade. When they have Cade, as I said earlier in the program, of course they're watchable. They got Cade Cunningham on the court. But when they don't have Cade and they're struggling like this, yeah, it hasn't been fun to watch. And I know we're not the only ones that feel that way. Pistons Twitter obviously isn't having fun. I mean, my goodness, they're all going at each other and going at the poor beat writers on Sunday nights. No one's having fun right now. And hopefully things turn around as the season goes on. Because again, it is only 6 games down the time of recording this. So hopefully things turn around. But as of now, hasn't really been fun. Hopefully it turns around, but I don't know. Eli, is there something you want to add?
I got some more stats, Tony. I got some more stats for you.
After your stats, do me a favor, and because I teased it already, I do want to talk about it. I do want to quickly mention Cade's first game. Like, give me the stats, or the stats you're about to give me, and then we can talk about Cade's first game.
So, three-point percentage.
As a team.
I think the Pistons are as a team. Yep, as a team. Oh,
dead last. They have to be.
They are dead last.
they have to be.
Well, let me tell you the number one. Number one is the Charlotte Hornets at 41.5%. So that's like unbelievable. You know, like that's not going to last, you know. Like they're not going to shoot that the whole season, but
guess the Pistons team 3-point percentage as of through the Brooklyn game. Oh. It's got to be seriously like 16%.
Stop. The whole team, Tony, come on.
Dude, they can't shoot a three.
16%. They're 28.9%.
I thought it would have been much lower, man. We can't shoot.
16%. That's like they go like 2 for 16 every game.
They might as well have been. Man, they've been shooting the three ball bad, man. I'm surprised it's even that high, 28%. But
Field goal percentage. Number one is the 76ers at 48.8. Is number one the 76ers? 48.8. Where do you think the Pistons are on this list?
I will say 35.
The Pistons.
Yes.
They are 29th.
Well, now I'm too high.
At 40.7%.
Oh.
Which is second to last in the league, only ahead of the Dallas Mavericks. Shout out Jason Kidd, bad coach, retire.
My poor Luka, man. Anyway.
Yeah, man. Free Luka.
Anyway, what other stat? Anything else?
No, that's all I got for those. But we'll talk about Cade's first game, in which he only scored 2 points. But
it was still an encouraging debut, if you ask me.
Yes, did many other things very well.
ESPN doesn't think so.
No, they bullied him on Snapchat.
You reported them, so it's all right.
I did. I reported them. I got it taken off the Snapchat thing. But, yeah, Cade in his first game played 19 minutes. He shot 1 for 8 from the field, 0 for 5 from 3, which I will say they were all good looks. They were all shots we've seen him make. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists. He had a block, and he had that one I would essentially call it a steal because he caused a turnover.
Yeah.
And he was the only starter that was a positive in plus minus. He was plus 1.
So, that's another stat I didn't know.
Yeah, he was a plus 1. So, I mean, I know plus minus is like a pretty, you know, without context, it's a pretty garbage stat. But I would say him being a positive, the only positive starter, kind of matches up with how that game went.
Yeah.
Because when he was in the game, everything looked better. Everything. And once they start getting those shots to fall, because they're not going to stay at 28% from 3 for the whole season. They are not going to shoot 28% for the whole season. They are going to, like, I guess not regress to the mean, but they're going to progress to the mean, which now I think the league average is like 34%. They'll probably end up somewhere around the league average, I would think, with the players we have on this team who have all shown in their career that they can shoot.
I'm speaking the obvious here, but after one game, at the time of recording this, after only one game, it's so clear that this team is just better with Cade. And I haven't seen many people talk about this. I think I saw Koo tweet about it, so shout out to Koo. But you know what enough people aren't talking about? And it's only one game, but Killian, I thought, also looked pretty good when Cade was on the floor with him on Saturday night. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see anybody saying, oh, they can't play together when they were out there.
Funny.
I wonder why.
Only one game, but that's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, like, Killian's only shot that he made of the game out of, like, 5. He was 1 for 5. The one shot he made was a standstill catch-and-shoot 3, which is literally, like, for him to play with Cade, that's all he's going to be, like, that's all he has to do. For them to work, Killian just has to be able to make an occasional standstill 3, which is, in my opinion, the best shot of Killian Hayes' repertoire right now. Like, that's the shot that goes in the most for him by my eye test and a lot of other people's eye tests. So I don't think they're going to have a problem. People want to send Killian to the G League and start Saban Lee, which, like, I don't. There's a reason you're not a GM or a coach. I will say that. There's a reason, because Saban Lee is playing with the Motor City Crews right now, and Killian Hayes is the starting point guard. It's not because of where they were drafted, I promise.
If Killian got benched or sent to the G League, Saban Lee wouldn't be the one to take his spot in the starting lineup. We all know who it would be. I just want to put that out there.
Corey.
Yeah, that ain't nothing nobody wants to see. So, yeah.
Because you know, Tony, Dwayne Casey would not just slide Cade to the point guard.
No. He'd keep him where he is. He doesn't want to
keep him where he is and put Corey Joseph at
yes.
point guard.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be Saban Lee who would hypothetically take Killian's spot. No way.
And it wouldn't be Cade either. Which is what some people want.
No.
They want Killian on the bench or in the G League and Cade to be the starting point guard. Dwayne is not going to he's not gonna play Cade at point guard. Like, he's not. Even if Killian, God forbid Killian gets hurt, Corey Joseph will be your starting point guard. I guarantee you that.
No.
I will put money on that. He would not start Cade at point guard.
No, it would be Corey for sure. And that's something I don't think anybody wants to see. I think that would be another dark day on Pistons Twitter. Yeah, it's clear though through one game that this team is just so much better with Cade on the floor on both ends. I even tweeted on Sunday morning, I tweeted that video of Cade, you know, diving on the floor and getting that turnover, during the game on Saturday night. Like, that play alone just shows you the type of impact Cade makes on this team. It's apparent through one game. So, and, you know, too, like I said, this team is just more watchable with Cade. So, yeah. At least there's that. And as I've said already, hopefully, you know, I liked my Tigers comparison that I made. Hopefully, this team is kind of like the Tigers, where it's just everyone struggling at the same time. And as the season goes on, as the schedule gets better, hopefully things will get better and we start to win more games, because obviously it has not been too much fun to watch and talk about on Twitter. So yeah, hopefully things get better, and hopefully we have more positive Pistons topics to talk about on Twitter and on here going forward. But nonetheless, with that, let's move into our final topic for today, which is going to be Michigan State. Eli is going to get out of here, but before Eli leaves, though, Eli, I do want to ask you this, though. Are you at all surprised with the result of that game on Saturday?
Oh, Tony, I'm not surprised at all. Jim Harbaugh can't win nothing for his life to save his life. And you know what's going to happen? Michigan's going to keep putting money in his pocket. That's why I will not support that program. I have not supported that program in years, and I will continue to not support that program until Jim Harbaugh is gone and back on the San Francisco 49ers. Good day. Fire Jim Harbaugh. Get him out of here. I never want to see him on the sideline again. He can never win a big game. He always chokes. This always happens every single year. Michigan fans think they got the greatest team ever. They're so cocky, and this happens every single year, and it's sick. It's sick that they continue to pay Jim Harbaugh, give him a paycheck. It's disgusting to me. Get that man out of Michigan. Get him out of here. Shout out Juwan Howard. I'm still backing you. You got the best program. Michigan's a basketball school. And shout out to Mel Tucker, too.
Yeah! Michigan,
it's time you go find your Mel Tucker, because Mel Tucker is the next Tuck coming, baby. Let's go, Michigan State. Go green, okay? That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, go green. I'm back in Michigan State all the way. All the way. I hope they make it to the playoff. I hope they beat Ohio State. Could you imagine Michigan State beats Ohio?
Could you imagine if they beat who you cut out?
Could you imagine if Michigan State beats Ohio State and Jim Harbaugh can't beat Ohio State? That would just be so sweet.
Year two, Mel gets the win over Ohio State. I'd be on the floor. I'd be on the floor.
If anything, that would cause Harbaugh to lose his job. If Michigan State beats Ohio State, Michigan can't.
I've always said this with Jim Harbaugh. Michigan's never going to fire him. The only way he leaves Michigan is if he physically left himself. Like, he steps down. There ain't no way he's ever getting fired. But
which is why I can't support that. I can't support that. I'm not going to be delusional like these people every year that think something will change. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
How many years, Eli? How many years?
Oh, my God. It's going to be 40 years. Jim Harbaugh is going to be in a wheelchair, and he's still going to be coaching the team. Oh, my God.
Well, hey, Mike, since you're talking, are you at all surprised about the result of that game on Saturday?
If I could write out how the game would have went before the game, that's exactly how I would do it.
Oh, really?
Michigan blowing a lead. That's exactly what I would picture happening. I mean, I like Eli, no shock at all whatsoever. Almost expected. Michigan is never, ever, ever going to change under Jim Harbaugh. Never. Whereas Michigan State, man, you guys got some good things going on over there, man.
Eli dropped the mic, by the way. He left. He said what he had to say, and then he left. The go green line really surprised me. I wasn't expecting that out of him. Oh, goodness. But, yeah. I mean, there was a point in that game on Saturday where I for sure thought Michigan was going to win. It just did not look like Michigan State had it. It did not look like Peyton Thorne had it. with the way Cade McNamara was playing, I really did not think we were going to make that comeback, but oh my goodness. And you know the best part too, I love the Michigan fans blaming that game solely on the officiating.
So you're gonna blame the refs for all their big games that were choked away in the past?
I love how the refs were the only reason they lost that game. It's not that they completely fell apart in the second half, blew a double digit second half lead, has nothing to do with that, has nothing to do with Jim Harbaugh getting out coached and collapsing in the second half, has nothing to do with two fourth quarter turnovers. One was a fumble, one was delayed pick. Has nothing to do with that. It was all on the officiating. And listen, I said this in my video on Saturday afternoon. Yes, the officiating was awful, but that was not the reason you lost that football game. That was not the reason you lost that football game. You lost that game because you absolutely collapsed in the second half. You lost that game because Jim Harbaugh collapsed in the second half and he got outcoached. You lost that game because of the two fourth quarter turnovers. You lost that game because you could not stop the Heisman Trophy winner in Kenneth Walker III. You let that man run all over you. You let that man run on you for close to 200 yards and 5 touchdowns. Count of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 touchdowns. Thank you so much, Michigan's defense, because now Kenneth Walker nationally is being talked about as a Heisman Trophy, not contender, a front runner. I saw a whole bunch of Heisman rankings over the weekend where Kenneth Walker, if he's not one, he's two. So thank you. Thank you so much, because it was only Michigan State fans who were giving Kenneth Walker their love. But now nationally, people know who Kenneth Walker is now. And now Kenneth Walker's getting some NFL buzz, too. I was reading Albert Breer's Monday Morning Quarterback on Monday morning. Hey, yeah, now Albert Breer putting his piece. Hey, the way Kenneth Walker's playing looks like a day two pick to Albert. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you, Michigan. Yeah, you didn't lose that game because of the officiating. There was a lot of other things that cost you that game, and none of them had to do with the officiating. I know it was bad, but that was not the reason you lost that game. When you blow a double-digit second-half lead on the road, you really got no one else to blame other than yourself. Like, I know Michigan fans love using excuses and they don't want to blame poor old Jim, but sometimes you just got to face the truth and blame Jim. And it's not all Michigan fans who are using excuses, by the way. I mean, there are a lot more Michigan fans, I would say, that are saying, like, listen, the officiating was bad, but that was on Jim, that was on us. And that's good. That's good. But as for Michigan State, my team, yeah, I'm feeling pretty damn good. I'm feeling pretty good. 8-0. We're now really in the playoff conversation now. Take it one game at a time, though. Take it 1 week at a time. Before we even talk about Ohio State, we got to focus on Purdue this Saturday. And let's keep rolling here. Let's go. I cannot believe in year two we are having this conversation with Michigan State. I cannot believe it. And oh, it's just, it's fun. It's really fun. I did not think this year was going to be so fun to watch Michigan State football. But, man, give credit to Mel Tucker. Give credit to his guys. Oh, it's been so much fun. It has been so much fun. And as Eli said, yeah, Tuck coming. You might be coming to LSU. The more and more we play, and the more and more we win, the more I start to think, I wouldn't be surprised if LSU threw him the bag. And if I was Mel Tucker, if LSU came calling and they gave me some of that big boy SEC money, if you will, yeah, I would probably take that if I was Mel. I don't know if he will or not, but we'll see. Hey, going back to Albert Breer's MMQB article they put out on Monday morning, Albert also talked about in there the possibility of NFL teams calling to see if Mel would take the jump back to the NFL. But that's neither here or there. Worry about Mel potentially leaving, I guess, in the offseason. let's focus on right now, though. Let's have fun watching this team. Let's enjoy, Michigan State fans. Getting that win on Saturday over Michigan was a hell of a lot of fun. Now it's on to Purdue. All right. Grant Richards, my Michigan fan. You're going to close us off here. It sucks that Tyler's not here. He said that he had to write a paper for school. But Grant, though, you're my Michigan man. How are you feeling after that game?
Oh, sorry, were you talking to me? I tuned you out for the last 10 minutes.
Oh, Mike, you hear that? Oh, Mike.
Sore loser.
No, man. I mean, like, even back when we were at the OU studios, I was saying Jim Harbaugh's a fraud. Get rid of Jim Harbaugh. Like, to quote the wonderful Dewey Wilkerson from Malcolm in the Middle, I expect nothing, and I'm still let down. I just get my hopes up every single year. I'm like, hey, we're looking good. We're starting to play well. This will be at least a great game. Like I said, State to cover, Michigan to win. I thought Michigan was just going to run all over State. They couldn't. State actually kind of put on a clinic for how to run the ball. what is J.J. McCarthy doing getting meaningful snaps in the second half? And fire Jim Harbaugh and his son. Like, I know it's not JJ's fault, but you got to be better. I mean, but what are we doing not trusting the guy we've been trusting this whole year? There are so many plays from that second half where it's just like, what are you thinking? What are we doing? What is the end goal here? What is the best possible case scenario? Why not? Like, every time we leave, we bring in JJ, we ran the ball except for like one touchdown pass. I don't know. I like the defense disgusted me, admittedly, but the usage of JJ was just so weird to me. It throws a quarterback off his vibe. Like, if we're going to give Cade McNamara 80% of the snaps, that's terrible. You can't be doing that as a title contender. Like, if you want to be a contender, you cannot be subbing out your guy for a dude that's like a little bit faster. We saw Kidd run, and we saw JJ run, and they weren't like, it wasn't like we hit Cade's a pure pocket passer. Cade has the ability to move. It was just the weirdest thing seeing him in the game. It's like, if you don't trust your quarterback, that has to be known. You can't just mess around with it during the biggest game of your season so far.
You can't take Cade out having the game of his life. You can't do
that. No, this was Harbaugh's time to be like, hey, look, we're taking that step. It took a while. We're going to take the step. And, I mean, the moment State got within a score, I was just like, yeah, this one is not going the way of Michigan. But like you said, Tony, because I didn't actually tune you out, there was a point where I kind of like, I think I had some people over and we were just kind of like, are there any other games on? This one's not going to be close. Like, Michigan was walking away with it and easily.
I seriously thought Michigan State was going to lose that game at one point.
Oh, I was ready to write it off as like, fire off the tweets at halftime, dude. And then obviously you remember that Harbaugh's a fraud and can't close things out. But he's just not the guy. But, man, and it's weird to say because it's not looking good. But if they don't beat Ohio State this year, I don't think they can hit. Right. Laugh it up. That's fine because Ohio State's probably going to throttle Michigan, as they always do. And I hope they do. I hope it's 75-0. I hope Michigan has negative offensive yards. I just hope it's a terrible game and the university has no choice but to fire Harbaugh. It's gotten to that point where it's just like, he's not it. He can win you the games that don't matter. But like, I'm a broken record. I've been saying this for 3 years. Just get him out of there, man. I don't know. Like, they say it's a lifetime contract. I don't know how you buy out a lifetime contract, but that's got to be done. I don't disavow from teams, but this is the closest I've ever been to like disavowing. Half my family went to Michigan. So it would be kind of awful, but It's not a good product.
I mean, Eli is a former Michigan football fan. You could just join him if you wanted to. But I think you should keep Jim Harbaugh. You know, I actually think he's quite the coach. I enjoy Michigan Jim Harbaugh. I for one, really enjoy it, Grant.
I mean, to be fair, I was a big fan of Izzo, so. That's song for a different time. I don't know. I'm just trying to take shots anywhere I can.
I don't know what that means.
Bring back Antonio.
Yeah, please. No, I was just saying, like, I like playing against – I like when Michigan plays against Izzo because it usually goes pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Bring up basketball when during a football
Yeah, I'm trying, dude. I got nothing.
Now you really sound like a Michigan fan. Oh, we're a basketball school anyway. Okay, yeah. You've only been talking junk for the past number of weeks, and now you're, oh, we're a basketball school anyway. Yeah, okay.
Tony, stop living in the past. You know I'm kidding. I mean, you deserve you said. You deserve all that. I mean, I didn't see it going like that. I expected everyone to be dunking on you at the Pistons game afterward, just like, these guys, Michigan State sucks, da-da-da-da-da.
We were the ones dunking on them. Man, there were some go green, go white chants in LCA on Saturday night, by the way. And the Orlando Wolverines, whenever they touch the ball, Franz, Mo, Iggy, you would hear a couple go green, go whites from the crowd. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, that Saturday was a lot of fun. Yeah, Saturday was a lot of fun. And this team is just, in general, a whole lot of fun to watch. It may not have been a perfect game overall, but... hey, a win is a win, especially over Michigan. So, ain't no moving on up in the playoff rankings. Well, actually, the playoff rankings come out, I think, tonight at the time of releasing this. So, we actually don't know what the playoff rankings are at the time of recording this. But we're moving up in the AP rankings. That's how I'll say it. We're moving up in the AP rankings. Playoff rankings, we'll see where they put Michigan State at. I would have to imagine Michigan State's probably going to be in, like... I don't think they'll put them top four. I mean, I would love to be like number four, but I don't know. I would be happy with being number five or six, one of the first two out. I think that would be perfectly acceptable, but I don't know. We'll see. Saturday was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the win over Michigan, but now it's on to Purdue. Michigan, by the way, they're still ranked AP-wise. They're still, I think, number 9. We'll see where they are in the playoff rankings, but, I mean, you're still top 10 team, if that means anything.
Mike, Tony, I can tell you with all confidence in my heart, that means absolutely nothing.
I'm sure there's a lot.
Rank them 1. Rank Michigan 1, I don't care.
Well, according to Michigan's Twitter, it's a 1-0 mentality.
How can you say that coming off a 1-1, like the first loss of the year? I saw that and I was like,
what are you talking about?
How can you have a 1-0 mentality? Means you're coming off, you're feeling frisky, you're undefeated. How, like just read the room. That's not your mentality. You are crushed right now and you know it.
Mike, is there something you wanted to say?
We all know who's going to be in the top four instead of Michigan State. You got to make room for Alabama. Come on now.
Could you imagine a potential Alabama-Michigan State playoff or bowl game?
Oh, my God.
Well, me and Mike would be.
That went pretty well last time, right?
Yeah, it went just as well as the Michigan playoff game. Oh, wait.
Yeah, we scored the same amount of points.
Oh, yeah. I think – I don't remember when Michigan last played in the playoff, though. That's the thing, though.
Sorry, what do you get – how many points do you get for appearances? Oh, so it's – you guys didn't score, Michigan hasn't scored.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many appearances does Michigan have, though?
Same amount of points.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny, Grant? Somewhere someone is listening to this right now as an Ohio State fan, and they are the real ones with their feet, like, they're kicked back, feet up in the air. Because we all know what's probably going to happen with both of our teams. But, hey, for me at least, I'm enjoying it while it lasts. We'll worry about Ohio State when we get there. But as of now, I'm having fun, and Saturday was a lot of fun. All right, gentlemen, good show this week. So with that, thank you all for listening this week. My name is Toya Browski for my entire crew. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all next time.